Amen. Well, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to have this platform for all of us to get together and fellowship from all over. And Father, we praise you and we thank you that tonight's going to be okay, something popped up. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that we all have a wonderful time tonight in you. And Lord, let's hear some new revelations tonight. Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit has filled us up. We're ready to go. And we praise you, Lord, for all the things that you've done. All healing has already started in our bodies. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that everything that we've prayed today is being answered right now in the name of above every name, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right. Has anybody got any prayers? Okay, Julie.
Sat on to that. Father, thank you for the authority you've given to us over all the power of the enemy. I thank you, Lord, that our bodies are holy temples of our God, Father, Jesus, our Savior, our Lord and Master. I thank you, Lord, for filling us with your Holy Ghost and that we know who we are in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that the demons are subject unto us in your name because our name is are written in the heavens. And we are not of this world. We're of your kingdom, and that's our home. And I thank you, Lord, that we're free from all demonic oppression of witchcraft and voodoo and all manner of curses being sent against our bodies and our lives and our circumstances and our work, our ministry, and that these things are out, they're bound up, they're cut down, they're broken in Jesus' name, and that we don't have to suffer these inflictions. To the point, Lord, that well, the enemy is trying to discourage us and to getting us looking at ourselves or being disappointed or worried or even doubting our salvation or doubting our authority. They're a bunch of liars. And I thank you, Lord, that these things we're being tried with just to make us stronger in you, that you're helping us to move higher in you, Lord, and to overcome our flesh and overcome the works of the schemes of the enemy and to recognize where things are coming from. And having done all, Lord, and using your word, we stand and we stand in authority and we stand in your strength and that you work for us. You fight the battles for us, Lord, and we thank you and we give you highest praises and we exalt the name of Jesus above every name. And we rejoice in you, God, and we rejoice in our trials and our afflictions and sufferings and being proven in our faith and being steadfast and that we're not moved by any of this stuff. And I thank you, Lord, that our brothers and sisters in Christ are all overcomers. They're all resting in the knowledge of the truth of the promises and fighting the good fight of the faith and being restored, Lord, in our minds, our emotions, all of our souls being restored and that we're growing and maturing and becoming your sons and daughters, Lord, and doing a lot of work of for your kingdom, Lord, and doing damage to the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down every assignment of death and assignment of cursing against our president, Donald Trump, and his family, his administration. We cast all that down, command it null and void, and that he is always protected via put a hedge around him, Lord, and angelic beings fighting to make sure he is able to finish out his plan, your plan and purpose for him, Lord, as our president, to bring about this restoration, to bring about the good things, Lord, for this country, so that we can do what we're supposed to do and that the gospel can go out and we have relative peace and safety. Thank you, Lord, also for bringing down the deep state, exposing all their wickedness, all their evil plans, and what has been happening and what this nation has been under, and all the nations, what they've been under for decades, Lord. And these things are to come out, and that the church is going to wake up, and they are waking up. And you've been hearing our prayers, Lord, for our families and loved ones. for household salvation, for praying for the elect, and just praying for those who are in need, Lord, and being your light where we are, and to help people, to be ready to help people, to be full of the grace and knowledge of the truth of the gospel, to be able to minister reconciliation to people, to you be used of you, Lord, for all the gifts that you want to use us for. And I just thank you, Lord, for filling us all with the power of your Holy Spirit and all the gifts, and however you want to use us, Lord, and that we be ready and always saying yes to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I praise you and I thank you. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. We thank you, Father, for filling all of us with the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And we know that the Holy Spirit dwells in each and every one of us. That's the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And I praise you, Father, that the enemy has no power over us. And in the name of Jesus, I command everything that the enemy has thrown at us be cast out right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for complete healing and deliverance from the attacks of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And the spirit of might, that's what he's called, the spirit of might. It strengthens us every day when we get up and we ask him to fill us for that day. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. As we read and study the Word of God, he gives us those revelations out of the Word of God. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We're led by the Spirit and he directs our paths. And we thank you for it, Father. He does everything for us. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that he is with us 24/7. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Devil, you're on the run. You got to go. Amen. Anybody else? Hey, Joe. Yeah, I miss you.
I caught earlier that there's really bad flooding in Texas, in southern Texas, I think around San Antonio. And I just looked it up. And National Weather Service says, well, let me just make sure this is recent. Because you know how sometimes they put old articles. But there's a lot of counties that the governor has ordered a state of emergency. It's really bad. Jeez. Anyway,
You talking about in Texas,
yes.
Southern Texas?
Yeah. So, Father, I command this the angels to go and watch over and protect all your elect, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I know pray for your mercy, Lord. I know we can't pray all these things away because it's a sign of the times, Lord. But we just ask you for your mercy, Lord, and that we've been told that the weather manipulation or whatever has been taken down. So we believe that. So, Lord, we just ask you for your mercy, and we just send the angels to avert any more rain, Lord. If what I got here is accurate, the National Weather Service says they don't. Okay, yeah. 30 inches of rain in 36 hours. And 59 counties have been declared disaster declaration. 59 counties. So anyway, Lord, I just Lord, just use this, Lord, to bring salvation, Lord, to bring repentance, to bring revival to your people, Lord. Those who are your elect, they may not know it yet, but we thank you, Lord, that that's what you're doing, Lord. Break up the fallow ground of their hearts, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your people will seek you with all their hearts, Lord, and know that You're their savior. No, declaration of disaster or anything like that's going to save them, Lord. But you're the savior, and you still do mighty works. You still do miraculous protection, and all through your angels. Thus, you dash your foot against a stone, they'll bear you up, Lord, and just send forth your angels to get your people out of harm's way, and rescue those who need rescuing, Lord, and send people to Lord to help, Lord. But we just ask you to, through this all, to that there would be many mighty testimonies of supernatural, miraculous things, Lord, of your provision and protection upon your people. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to provide for all your people, Lord, in particular, that are going through this, Lord, and their food and covering and
Covered with
clothing and
meat.
all that, Lord, and restore to them that they know, Lord, that you can restore them. We can restore to them what they've lost, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we send your angels down there to help all the children that are caught up in this flood, bring them out of there safely, and their mom and dads. And I thank you for it, Father, that no one will lose their life because of this. And I thank you, Lord, that they're going to understand to your glory that you're the one that saved them. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that for all of the people down there that are in trouble. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. How many of you know we can do that? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, anyone else? Hi, Vanita. Joe. All right, anybody else got a prayer? I got a song. Okay, we're going to play a song.
Of the Father saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain. Sweet song of morning, and the leaves on the trees turn their silver cups to the sky. The silent clouds above are beginning to gather. The barren land is thirsty, and so am I. To shine as he tells of his vision,
and the old understands what he sees, 'cause he's dreamed his dreams,
And with the thrill of being alive, they reach out to each other.
And they dance in the rain.
And they dance in the rain with the joy of the things they have seen. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to you hear, throw open the windows.
Call
all your children together and throw wide the doors. When the rains of the Spirit are falling, fill every vessel. For he who drinks his fill will fill.
Thank you, Lord. Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain. Glory be to God. I had to turn it off. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got anything I'd like to say? You getting any rain, Missy? Nope.
The last time we had significant rain was Thursday last week. So So we just watered the garden tonight. So
Watered your drive in.
garden.
Oh, your garden. Oh, I thought you said your drive in. What in the world do you mean?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, we got a pretty good rain yesterday and the day before. And then we got another one today. I don't know. I got an inch and a half yesterday, the day before, but I don't know how much we got today. I hadn't looked at it. Probably about the same. All right. It seems like David was up here earlier and told me that the Kurds are in the hills of Iran running the IRGC out. They've been mobilized. They are professional fighters anyway, and they are real good at mountain fighting, and that's where they are. And they're running people out, the IRGC out, getting all them those type of Muslims out of there. So that's good news. And other stuff is, let's see, there was something else I'm trying to remember. Well, they have arrested a bunch of federal judges throughout the United States, 487, I think, what it was, 37 or 87, I can't remember which, but they're getting them. Deep state has gotten them up for everything from treason to leaving the Constitution behind and not going by the Constitution. So looks like we got some cleaning up there that they're doing. And Lord, we just thank you for cleaning up all the deep state out of this country, getting them out of here. And Father God, I just ask and I pray that you do something with the radical Muslims in this country too, Lord. Let's get them out of here. We praise you and we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, anybody else? Yeah, I see. Oh my. He's going across the world now with that thing, huh? Okay. Anybody got anything I'd like to share? Okay, Julie.
Now, this is something we've prayed about before, about them taking away this whole daylight savings time thing. And apparently the House has passed the bill
Oh, really?
to do away with it, right? But then of course it has to go to the Senate. So Lord, we just pray that you would put it in the hearts of the Senate to approve it as well. In Jesus' name, it was a vote of 308 to 117 in the
Ooh,
House.
that's
And
good.
that's pretty significant victory there. But Lord, we know how the we know how things go sometimes, so we forbid any of the powers that be that would want to come in there and manipulate, control, bribe, whatever they do, and however they do that, the Senate, to try to not let it pass. Let it pass, Lord, be done away with all of these lies and this manipulation of the time set back forth, back and forth, back and forth. So thank you, Lord, for making that happen in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for getting rid of that thing. I remember when they brought it in. I didn't like it then. Thank you, Father. There's one or two states that never has had it. I forget what they are, but
Nevada's one, and
New Mexico.
Might be New Mexico. Yeah.
Thought I heard that.
Yeah, I know Nevada is one of them. Or Arizona might be one of them too. Maybe it's Arizona. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Get rid of it, Lord. I'll thank you for doing that. Let it pass. Go ahead, Joe.
Can I ask, what's the reason for it, Michael?
It's so the bankers could get off on Wednesday and get a couple of rounds of golf in before the sun goes down. That's what I always thought it was for. I don't know, Joe. I just never did make any sense to me. Because on Wednesdays, the bankers get off at noon and they go out there and they want to play 18 rounds and before dark. Anyway, I don't know what the reason was for it, Joe. Really, I don't.
Actually, you know what, Michael?
Yeah.
Where we're from, nobody shuts down early on Wednesdays.
Nobody what?
Shuts down early on Wednesdays.
On the banks?
Banks stay open.
Really? Well.
That's just here in the South kind of thing.
Oh, now you're pushing it on the rebels. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the reason is for it, other than I don't know. I really don't. I never done understood it many years ago when they put it here and put it in Arkansas. We were one of the, it took us a long time to figure out that we didn't want it, but the government did it anyway. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else got anything they want to share? How many of you? I just ran across this today and I'd like very much to throw it out there at you. How many of you have used the phrase in your faith that when something happens and it's something that you can't control, and you've always said, well, God's in control, he'll fix it. Yeah, we all have. God is in control, we'll fix it. Well, he's in control. He's gonna bring that rent money in. I guarantee you he's gonna bring it in. Well, I've got a little study here that I'd like to go through if y'all want me to. And it's really interesting. He said there is a phrase moving through the modern church like a sedative. You've heard it at funerals and hospital waiting rooms. You have heard it when ministries collapsed, when marriages fracture, when diagnosis arrived that nobody asked for. It gets whispered over tragedy and shouted from pulpits during disaster. And every time you hear it, it sounds like faith. It sounds like surrender. It sounds like the most mature, most God-honoring thing a believer could possibly say. God is in control. But here's what nobody is telling you. That phrase, in the way most believers are using it, is one of the most expensive spiritual habits in the American church. Not because it's always wrong in every possible context, but because of what it has come to mean in practice. In practice, it means I'm not responsible for this situation. It means God will sort this out without my involvement. It means I can stop enforcing my covenant rights because the sovereign Lord of the universe has apparently decided to handle it from the throne room while I sit here passively and wait. Folks, that's not faith. That is spiritual abdication dressed in the language of surrender. And if you've been saying this phrase in the middle of crisis, now he says, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to hand you something you didn't know that you had put down. Because when you understand what the Bible actually says about your authority and what it cost the Son of God to give it to you, you'll never again use that phrase as a substitute for exercising the dominion mandate that belongs to you. Here's the truth that most of the church is not preaching because it's too confrontational, too demanding, too disruptive, too comfortable Christianity. Jesus did not die and rise again so that God could be more in control. God has always been sovereign over the universe. He was sovereign before the cross. He was sovereign in Eden. And he has never lost control of the cosmos for a single second. So if that was the point of Calvary, it was the most expensive redundancy in the history of creation. The cross was not about restoring God's control, folks. The cross was about restoring your authority. Read Genesis 1:28 and read it slowly. Read it like a legal document, because that's exactly what it is. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. That was not a suggestion. That was a mandate. That was a legal assignment. God didn't say, sit back and let me run everything. He said, you take dominion, you subdue, you rule. And he created man and woman in his image for the specific purpose of exercising delegated authority over the created order. And when Adam sinned, that dominion did not evaporate into the air. It was legally transferred. It went from Adam to the adversary through a catastrophic act of spiritual treason. The fall was not just a moral failure. It was a legal transfer of the authority mandate. And right there is where the problem begins, because somewhere between Eden and today, the church stopped reading the dominion mandate and started building a theology of divine micromanagement that absolves the believer of any responsibility to enforce anything. But here's what you have to understand. And this is where it gets glorious. Glory to God. What was lost at the fall was recovered at Calvary. Not partially recovered. Not temporarily recovered. Fully, legally, completely recovered. And Kenyon, E.W. Kenyon, taught throughout his whole works on the Father and his family that the new creation is not simply a forgiven sinner. The new creation is a restored son. A son who carries the original mandate. A son who has been placed back into the legal position of authority that Adam vacated with one critical upgrade. This covenant cannot be broken by human failure, because it was not established on human merit. It was cut in the blood of the eternal Son of God. And think about what that means. When you were born again, you were not simply saved from hell. You were reinstated as a ruling heir. You were given back the dominion mandate, not as a distant theological position, but as a present, operational, enforceable, legal reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And that's not poetry. That is a legal declaration of new creation status. And new creation status comes with the same authority that was in Christ Jesus himself. So when you say God is in control and use that as a reason to stop enforcing what the word says is yours, you're doing something that breaks the heart of heaven. You're handing back voluntarily the very thing that the blood of Jesus purchased for you at an unimaginable cost. Here's what Kenyon understood from his deep study of Scripture and what the modern church has almost entirely forgotten. There are two kinds of knowledge operating in every believer's life, and whichever one dominates is going to determine whether you live like a delegated ruler, or a helpless bystander. The first is sense or flesh knowledge. It's the information your five senses report, what you can see, what you can feel, what the diagnosis says, what the bank statement confirms, what the circumstances look like from the outside. And since knowledge is real, it is immediate and it is loud. The second is revelation knowledge. It's the knowledge that comes from the Word of God and stands completely independent of anything the senses can report. And it's true whether you feel it or not. And it's active whether you see evidence of it or not. And it's legally binding whether the circumstances have caught up to it or not. Now here's the problem. Flesh knowledge has been in charge your entire natural life. Your mind spent decades being educated by your five senses before you were ever born again. And it will continue to defer to them automatically until something intervenes and rewires that pattern. And that phrase, God is in control, is often what sense faith looks like, or flesh faith, either one. It's what the inner man says when flesh knowledge is winning or sense knowledge is winning. When the circumstance is too big, when the diagnosis is too severe, when the storm is too loud, the sense-ruled mind reaches for the theological phrase that requires nothing of you. God's in control. He gonna sort it out. I don't need to do nothing but sit here and wait on it. But revelation knowledge or spiritual knowledge says something categorically different. Revelation knowledge reads like Luke 10 and 19, and here's Jesus saying, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Revelation knowledge reads in Mark 11, 23, and here's Jesus who says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Revelation knowledge does not read those verses and then say, "Well, I suppose God's going to handle the mountain in his timing, excuse me. Revelation knowledge reads those verses and says this: the mountain is under authority, and I'm the one that's holding that authority. So mountain, you got to move. And that's not arrogance. That is covenant obedience. And the difference between those two statements is the difference between a church that enforces victory and a church that sings about it. Now let's talk a little bit about what happens when a believer does not know the difference between God's sovereignty and the believer's authority, because this is where most of the damage is done. God is sovereign over the universe in the sense that nothing exists outside of his power. Nothing surprises him, and nothing can ultimately thwart his eternal purpose. That is absolute truth, and it should produce worship in your heart. Glory be to God. But God's sovereignty does not mean God personally scripts every sickness, every financial crisis, every broken marriage, every unanswered cry in the night. The enemy is real. He is active. He has an agenda. And 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 tells you exactly what that agenda sure looks like. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, that word, whom he may devour, implies that there are people he can't devour. The question is, which category do you fall into? And the answer depends almost entirely on whether you know and are enforcing your authority, or whether you have abdicated it by waiting for God to be sovereign over the situation. The enemy does not fear your theology. He doesn't tremble when you attend church. He doesn't lose sleep because you own a Bible. Well, what breaks his momentum and what strips him of his ability to continue operating in your life is a believer who knows who they are in covenant and who enforces that covenant with every declaration and every act of faith. Kenyon consistently taught that the enemy's greatest weapon against the believer is not temptation or persecution or attack. His greatest weapon is ignorance. An ignorant believer is a passive believer. And a passive believer is a non-threatening believer. And the moment we wake up to our authority, we become a problem for the enemy's agenda. And the phrase, God is in control, in its passive usage, is one of the primary tools he uses to keep you comfortable in your ignorance. Here's a hard question. When did Jesus ever use that phrase? You could search the Gospels. Find me the moment when the storm raised on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus leaned back in the boat and said, well, God's in control. He's going to sort this out. Well, you're not going to find it, because Jesus did not defer to the divine sovereignty when the storm came. What did he do? He stood up and he spoke to it. He said, peace, be still. He commanded, he enforced, he declared. And Mark 4, verse 39 tells you that the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Not because God the Father decided to sovereignly end the storm from the throne, but because the Son of God stood in his authority and commanded the created order to align with the Word of God. And then he turned to his disciples, and the thing he was most troubled by was not the storm. It was the fact that they didn't do it. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He wasn't rebuking them for not having enough theology. He was rebuking them for not enforcing their authority in the middle of a crisis. That same rebuke spoken with the same love and the same urgency is being spoken to the modern church right now. Why are you so fearful? You have the same spirit. You have the same authority that I gave you. Why are you sitting in the back of the boat asking me to handle the storm that I already gave you power over? Now, hear the covenant comfort in this, because the goal is never condemnation. The goal is always restoration. The reason this truth feels confrontational is that the religious system has been robbing you of something that belongs to you. And when you discover what has been taken, the first response is often grief. You think of all the years of passive Christianity, all the crises where you waited on God to move sovereignly while your covenant rights sat unused on the shelf. You think of the prayers that were really just polite requests for God to do what you were already authorized to do yourself through the name of Jesus. And that grief is legitimate. Let it come. But you don't have to live there, because the blood covenant you stand in through Jesus Christ does not punish late arrivals. It simply says, now you know, now walk. Ephesians 2, verse 6 says, tells you your legal position right now in this moment, regardless of how many years you spent unaware of it, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and made us sit together. That's not a future promise. That is a present tense legal reality. You're already seated. You're already positioned in the place of authority. The court has already ruled. The verdict was handed down at the resurrection, praise be to God, because Colossians 2 and verse 15 confirms it. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Well, the triumphing's finished, the spoiling's done. Every principality and power that was arrayed against you was publicly stripped of its legal authority over you when Jesus rose from the dead. Praise be to God. And the question that remains, and the only question, is whether you are operating from that position or whether you are operating from the ground level of sense knowledge and passive theology. Here's how it plays. I'm going to stop there a minute and see if anybody's got any questions. Anybody got any questions? Missy, you asleep? Okay. All right. Has anybody got any comments? Well, I'm amazed. Okay. You want me to continue? Okay. Well, here's how it plays out in daily life. And this is where the rubber meets the road. You receive a bad report. A diagnosis comes. A financial crisis hits. A relationship fractures. A door slams shut that you believe God had opened. What's the first thing out your mouth? That first declaration tells you everything about what kind of knowledge is governing your inner man. If your first word is, well, God's in control, I suppose he has a reason for this, then you are operating from sense knowledge dressed in spiritual language. The circumstance has defined your reality, and you have assigned God's sovereignty as the explanation so that you don't have to do the hard work of standing in faith. But if your first word is the word of God, it says, I am healed, I am provided for, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me, then you are operating from revelation knowledge. You are enforcing the covenant. You are standing in your legal position, and you have just become, in that moment, exactly the kind of believer that the enemy was hoping you would never be. Proverbs 18:21 declares it plainly. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not in God's sovereign will alone, not in some predetermined plan that makes your words irrelevant, in the power of the tongue. That means your declarations matter. Your confession establishes the atmosphere around your life. And what you consistently speak over your circumstances is what your faith is actually in, regardless of what you claim to believe intellectually. So stop saying God's in control as a way of avoiding the responsibility of speaking to the mountain. Start declaring what the word says is already done. Because Mark 11 and verse 23 is not a maybe. It's a method. And the method works when the believer exercises it. The trap of religious passivity goes back further than most people realize. It has roots in a church history that slowly traded the militant authority of the New Testament church for a comfortable, God will handle everything theology that made institutional religion manageable. The early church didn't pray for God to heal the sick. The early church stood over the sick and commanded healing in the name of Jesus, and the sick recovered. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter didn't say, "Brother, let us agree that God is in control of your condition and trust that his sovereign purposes will be accomplished in this." Peter said, "Such as I have, I give you." He knew what he had. He had delegated authority. He had the name. He had the covenant, and he enforced it. The lame man walked. That's the model. That is what was lost in the drift from first century apostolic authority to 21st century institutional passivity. And that's what Kenyon spent his life trying to recover, not as a doctrine for debate, but as a daily lived reality for every blood-bought believer. The enemy has worked systematically for centuries to keep the church from walking in that reality. Not by attacking the doctrine of salvation, not by denying the resurrection. He's far too intelligent for that. His strategy is more subtle and more effective. He lets you have your theology as long as you don't enforce it. He lets you believe in divine healing as long as you never stand on it. He lets you confess that you are more than a conqueror as long as that confession stays theoretical, because a theoretical authority that is never exercised is no threat to him whatsoever. But the moment a believer moves from the confession of the lips to the enforcement of the covenant, the moment you stop saying God's in control as a substitution or substitute for action and start declaring what the finished work of Christ has already accomplished, everything changes. The atmosphere shifts. The enemy loses the ground he had been holding. And the victory that was always legally yours begins to manifest in the physical world. And you can see this is what Kenyon called walking from the throne to the footstool. Not from the footstool to the throne. Most believers live at the footstool. They live at the level of sense knowledge, at the level of what the circumstances report, at the level of what the doctor said and what the bank confirmed and what the enemy has been whispering. And from that position, they cry upward, begging God to please be sovereign over their situation. But God says, "Come up here, sit with me. Look at the footstool from above, because from where you are seated in Christ, every circumstance you're facing is already under your feet." Hebrews 1 and 13. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool'?" That is our seated position. That is the heavenly reality that Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 places you in right now. Not someday. Not when you have earned enough spiritual maturity. Not when you have prayed enough or fasted enough or reached some invisible threshold of holiness. Now seated, reigning, and authorized. So stop praying for God to come down and fix what he already authorized you to enforce. Start enforcing. Here's the practical shift. It's not complicated, but it requires a complete renovation of your confessional vocabulary. Stop saying, God, please heal this situation. Start declaring, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed, and I enforce that healing right now in the name of Jesus. And stop saying, God, I hope you provide. Start declaring, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I receive that provision right now. And now stop saying, God, I hope you have a plan for this crisis. And start declaring, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And that's Isaiah 54 and 17. And that is our covenant document. So we need to speak it like one. Stop saying God is in control and start saying Jesus is Lord over this situation. And I enforce his lordship right now through the authority of his name. That's the shift from petition to declaration. From begging to enforcing. From hoping the sovereign God will notice your situation to standing in the legal position that his blood bought for you. And every time you make that shift, every time you choose revelation knowledge over sense knowledge, and every time you open your mouth and declare the finished work instead of describing the problem, you're going to do something that has eternal weight. Let me get me a drink here. You are exercising the dominion mandate. You are functioning as the new creation you were reborn to be. And the created order, including the enemy, including the sickness, including the lack, including the fear, must respond. Not because you're powerful in yourself, but because the name that you carry is the highest name in heaven and earth. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. That includes every principality and power that has been operating in your life without your permission. And that name is in your mouth. You carry a legal weapon of absolute supremacy. And you have been setting it down to pick up a phrase that costs you everything it was designed to protect. And one more thing before we close, and I want you to hear this with everything inside you. This goal of this teaching is never to produce believers who are arrogant, who walk through life declaring things with a swagger that has no roots in love or humility. The goal is to produce believers who understand what the Father paid to restore their authority and who honor that sacrifice by actually using what was bought. The most honoring thing you can do with a gift is to use it. The most grieving thing you can do with it is to set it on a shelf and call that humility. And true humility before God is obedience to what he commanded. And God commanded you in Genesis 1, verse 28, to exercise dominion. He commanded you in Mark 16, 17, and 18 to operate in signs and wonders. He commanded you in James 4, verse 7, to resist the devil. He didn't say, wait for me to handle the devil. He said, you resist him and he'll flee from you. And that's not a suggestion. That is a covenant command. And when you obey it, when you rise up in the authority of the name of Jesus and enforce what Calvary accomplished, you're not being arrogant, you're being a son. You're being a daughter. You are walking in the image of the one who made you and redeemed you and seated you and authorized you. And that's why you were born again, not to wait, not to reign. So say this out loud right now. Say it like you mean it. Say it until your inner man stands up straight. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The dominion mandate belongs to me. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and every name that is named. I enforce the finished work of Calvary with my words, my faith, and my covenant authority. I will not abdicate to the enemy what Jesus purchased for me. I will not use passive language as a substitute for covenant enforcement. I'm not waiting for God to be in control. God has placed me in a position of delegated authority, and I stand in that position right now in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus. And if that declaration landed in your spirit the way I believe it did, well, I'm not going to finish that. He wants you to subscribe to his channel. Okay, praise God. What do you think? That's it? Come on. Oh, I know you've all heard this before, but it's an encouragement to realize who you are, what you are, and what your authority is. I want to tell you about this man. He went 40 years in his church without anyone dying of disease or sickness because he preached, always talked about who they were in Christ. He always talked about it. And the more you hear it, the more you believe it. I believe that with all my heart. Any questions or any comments? Don't talk with your mouth full. I'm just saying. Go ahead. Go ahead, miss.
I had someone tell me let's see here, that it was not humility to command things, you know, like commanding God. That they said I was commanding God, and I said, well, it says in the Bible, command ye me, you know. And I know. That's just how apostate Christianity is. You know, this person tried to say, I don't know if they used the word pride or not. I can't remember. But yeah, that's what they were implying if they didn't use the word, because they were saying it's not being humble, you know, like there in that you shared. You know, they think it's. Anyway, but I thank you, Lord, this person that said this to me is going to see the light, and they're going to learn to take the authority that you've given them.
Let's just break the power of the enemy off of him that's deluding him. In the name of Jesus, we break that power off of him right now, that he is in delusional state right now because he's been taught that. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for opening up his revelation.
Actually, it was a she, but anyway.
It was what?
It was a she.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, yep. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Was anybody encouraged by it? Yeah, I was too. When I read it, I said, shoot, I got to share that tonight. I believe when we get to the point to where we don't accept anything that the devil comes against us, and we pray with one another that we're going to start seeing a lot of healings and deliverances and all of that stuff, because it helps for us to encourage each other. You know what I'm saying? It helps, you know. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's just command this. Let's command that. And listen, I read something there. We have dominion over all the power of the enemy, authority over all the power of the enemy. And we also are above all principalities and powers. You understand that? We're above it. They're under our feet. We don't have to put up with them. Praise be to God. We can command and do the things that God has, David has taught us in that real good news to stand on in the commands of the word, and God's going to honor it. I think the problem is that we get a little bit, I can speak for Michael, I can't speak for y'all. I get a little bit depressed sometimes because it doesn't work as fast as we want it to. And that's understandable, but all he says, what does he say to do? He says, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on keeping on. And don't, you know, just know that God's doing it. He's doing it. We can't see what's going on inside of our body. God's working that work in us. I know he is. Praise be to God. I just declare right now that I'm healed. I can hear and I can, and my sinuses are completely healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I declare it, decree it. Enemy, you got to go. Word says it, by his stripes I'm healed. So praise God, I'm healed. And you ain't got no say in this matter. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I break the power of doubt and unbelief in anybody in here that may have that or may have experienced it in the name of Jesus right now. And I thank you, Lord, that we're all walking in divine healing in the name of Jesus, divine health. Praise be to God. Anybody want to add anything? Yep, we're redeemed from all the curse of the law in Jesus' name. Yeah. That goes with anything that we have going. That goes with anything. I mean, if you've got kids that are acting up, if you've got whatever, it makes no difference. Whatever it is, you can pray against it and break that power. And we can do it for other people too. I just saw your note there, Julian. We can do it for other people as well. Debbie, were you able to hear all that I said tonight?
No, probably last 10 minutes, maybe,
Oh,
something.
okay. All right.
It's good. What I heard was good.
Yeah. Well, the gist of the whole thing was casting down, saying this one phrase, and that is, God is in control, and then sitting back waiting on God to do something. And that's what the whole thing was about. Nothing, I don't think it was more, much more than 10 or 15 minutes long.
Oh, I probably was on that last 5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it's a good encouragement. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Or do y'all want to just shut down? I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. Where's Andrew?
He's babysitting tonight, so
Oh,
he's
okay.
just indisposed right now.
Okay. All right. Lord, be with Andrew while he's doing that, and lift him up, Lord, and encourage him. And thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, if he needs sleep, I just ask that you supernaturally give him energy and get him caught up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got anything I'd like to share? Hey, Debbie, how's Jonah doing?
He's doing great. Doing really well. Just great.
Amen.
Hadassah and
Thank you,
Brad,
Lord.
sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Hadassah and Brad picking up the hospital, and of course Libby, that's their daughter, my granddaughter, Jonah's cousin, and they were in the car singing all this about Jesus on the way back home in the car. Libby and Jonah were.
Oh.
How God is awesome, and some other song they were singing. So it was just really
Thank you,
blessing.
Lord.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's well.
He's well. He's
Thank
well.
you, Jesus.
I want to pray that the doctor prescribed seizure medication for him, and she thinks she should not refuse the doctor's what he says she should do. So I said, well, we can, because she knows that last time he was on it. Because I went another time, and she stopped it because it made him aggressive. And I'm thinking, like, well, the way he gets sometimes, doesn't need that to make him aggressive. Well, he's been getting better though. Anyway, but I did tell her, well, you can look, God is, look at the miracles God has done already. You can at least agree that I believe for God to not let that medicine give him any effect, negative effects like that. So,
Amen.
yeah.
Lord, we just neutralize any bad effects of that medicine on Jonah right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. It's going to go right to the source and do its job and no more in
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Yes,
Lord,
thank you.
we'd rather have her use faith, but she's not there right now. So we ask
Right.
and we pray for this medication to help Jonah in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, Julie. Oh, I thought you had your hand up.
I did. I was just gonna just like suggest that, Lord, you just put it in Victoria's heart to Victor. It's Victory's heart, Lord, to even just research this particular medication they subscribed, and if she's not comfortable with the side effects, that you would give her the grace to say no. You would give her the wisdom and knowledge to understand that this would not be good for him, and that whatever she decides, Lord, you'll give her peace about her decision, Lord, because we're not under the law, and she is where she is. And I ask you, Lord, just to encourage her with the experiences she's gone through and seeing how the prayers have been lifted up for Jonah, and that he is well. And say thank you, Lord, for just encourage her in your word and in faith, and just keep praising you and thanking you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your protection on Jonah. And he's got such great testimony of his life, Lord, and what you've done for that boy. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that the enemy, I just saw it as an attack, Debbie, that he was doing so well and progressing so well, and then this happened. So I just thank you, Lord, for being being bringing victory into encouragement in you, Lord, and to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I did too, Julie. I just thought just a demon. Just a demon that did this and attack of the enemy. And yeah, but she doesn't see that. I wish she would, but praise God.
Amen.
God is good control, not the demon. Thank
Lord,
you all for
I
your
believe
prayers
that's you.
and your faith. I appreciate all those prayers of faith. So many people are praying for him. I mean, everywhere. Yeah, it's wonderful. Anyway.
Amen. No diaper blowouts for Andrew. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else got something they'd like to share or pray about? Lord, I want to pray for my grandson, Blake. I thank you, Lord, that he's going to make it through this detox. And this is going to be the last time he's going to go through it. In Jesus' name, I command those demons of addiction off of him right now. In Jesus' name, I command them to go now. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, this is the last time he's going to have to go through this because you're involved now. And I praise you and thank you that he is free of it. I break the power of this addiction spirit on him. I command you to go from him right now in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. This is going to be the weekend that he is completely delivered of this in Jesus' name. No more. And I thank you, Father. The enemy has gone from him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I lift up my sister and my brother, siblings, to you. And both of them have cancer in some areas. And I thank you, Lord, that I can pray for them. And this is going to happen. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of this cancer out of my family right now in Jesus' name. I command it to go from David and Alanette, and I command them to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that we have the faith and the authority to pray for them, and that the power of God is working right now in their bodies, healing them with this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for David and Alanette. In Jesus' name. All right, Ben, go ahead.
I have an old family friend. His name's Don. He's older, I guess I should say, and he's got cancer. He was just recently diagnosed with cancer. And it's to the point, and he's at an age where he's just saying, I'm not doing chemo. I'm just going to ride it out type of thing. And, you know, he's not doing too good. So he just plans on, like, he's accepted that he's going to, you know, pass away from this. He's very sick and I'm going to be seeing him this weekend. So I would just like to pray for him. Lord, I just lift up Don to you again. Lord, I just want to thank you for him. He's been an awesome man in my life and to my mother and my stepfather, and even my dad knew him too. And Lord, Father God, just we pray that there's no pain, Lord. He seems to have accepted that he's going to pass away, Lord. I don't know where he's at with you or what he is, Father, or through your relationship with him. I haven't seen him in a very long time. Lord, Father God, I just pray that when I come up this weekend, to use me in a way to bring you into the conversation naturally, to remind him of you. I think he grew up Methodist. I think he did. So there's something there, Lord. Lord, Father God, just use me. Please use me, Lord, to show something, to tell him something, or anything, Lord, even just a simple prayer to remind him of the faith and to be an example to those lost around us, Father, to remind us of all of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for healing that man. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Okay, Julie.
Okay. Father, thank you for Ben. And thank you, Lord, that you are going to use this man to minister to his friend Don, this family friend, Lord, that you would give all grace to him, Lord, just to be listening to your voice, to go in there with just an open heart and the love and compassion of Christ to minister reconciliation to him, wherever Don is at in his heart and his relationship with you, Lord, that you will give Ben a discernment, give him words of wisdom, give him words of knowledge, give him the gift of healing, give him the gift of just bold faith where he needs it, to just really find out where Don's at in his walk with you, give him the right words to speak, that you will speak through him, and that there's no pressure. We bind up all false burden or responsibility on Ben right now that he has to do something, but just fill him with the love of God to go in there and with a heart of compassion and wanting to see his this family friend, Lord, pass from here to the next realm, if that's the plan, Lord, or if it's to bring healing, manifest healing in his body, Lord, that he will give him the gift of healing and bold faith and to command it out, however you lead him, Lord, in Jesus' name, because we have that. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him a discernment of these things to be hearing your voice and be led of your spirit. And we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens up, Lord. And we are your hands and your feet,
Thank you, Jesus.
and we are your body, and you can do all things through us, Lord. We just have a yielded vessel, somebody you want to use, is be willing to be it for you, God, to bring you glory. In
Yes.
Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got anybody they want to pray about or pray for? Everybody's got somebody. Everybody's got somebody. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay. We prayed for this person before here a few months ago, but the man's name is Angel, and he's got bone cancer, and apparently all of his family members, none of them matched up to be a donor. So this man apparently in the last few weeks has been in and out of the hospital, and he is not doing well. He's very, very sick. And Lord, I know we have prayed for him for his healing. And so we just command this bone marrow cancer out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot stand against the word of God. You cannot stand against the authority we have in Christ Jesus. I command the angels to go minister unto him. Angel, you get up out of that deathbed and quit cursing yourself and accepting death. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that his family are going to speak faith over him, speak the blood of Jesus over him, and watch you do miracles. And we praise you, Lord, that he is not going to die. He shall live. That cancer has no right to his body. In the name of Jesus, you're a lying devil. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that for this family, Lord, that you would get the glory and do this miracle of healing in his life, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for healing him. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else want to pray for anyone? Okay, Debbie.
My grandson, Hadassah's son, Tyler, is a wonderful young man in the Lord. Just got married. Married with Vanessa.
I knew something there.
it was a quick wedding because they didn't want to wait. You know, they just wanted to get married. And so it was a quick wedding with this pastor in the backyard with family there. And but there's still going to be a wedding in September, a bigger ceremony in September. So anyway, Hadassah was kind of having a hard time with that, but anyway, well, this is how he's going to do it. But I just want to pray for them. They're both really strong in the Lord. I want to lift them up and just like thank you, Lord, for bringing Tyler and Vanessa together. And I just thank you, God, for the work you've done in his whole life. God, I thank you that you delivered him out of a situation that you did not want him to get into, Lord. All that football stuff, oh God, and his whole life and all the training he's had, all the money has been put into it, oh God. We thank you, though, God, that you delivered him from that, God, and you use those injuries he had, Lord, to keep him from going in that direction, Lord God. And I thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And you've brought this wonderful woman into his life now, Lord God. So quickly, they've not known each other very long, just a few months, and but they really know that it's you, Lord. And I just thank you, God, that you would help them to be so closely knit together in you, Lord God, and they would include you in everything, Lord, and that you would just cause them to just have such a great love for one another, Lord, and a respect and an honor for each other, God. And I just thank you, Father. Just bless their marriage, Lord. Bless them in all they do, Father. Bless the new work that that Tyler is doing right now, God, and Vanessa in this work she has. I forget what that is, but just bless them both, Lord. I just pray your blessings on their life, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you for giving them joy and happiness all their married life. I'd like to lift up an old friend of mine, John Schaffner. Lord, I lift up John again to you, and I thank you, Father, that you are bringing him into the kingdom, whether he likes it or not. And I praise you, and I thank you for doing that, Lord. He's very sick right now with Alzheimer's, and he remembers me. We were best friends growing up from childhood. And Lord, I thank you for healing him and bringing him into the kingdom in a mighty way, that he would bring his whole family into the kingdom too. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that for my old friend John. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Oh, by the way, I don't know if y'all heard that vision of Shalonda's the other day that she had, where she said that the Lord came and breathed on everyone. Okay, did everybody hear that? He breathed. Did you hear it, Ben? Okay, did you hear it, Missy? Okay, all right, anyway. She said that the Lord breathed on everybody there at the local, and also said that the people that were watching the program on Friday night was also them, and their families were breathed on. So I believe that's correct. And Lord, we thank you for doing that for all of us and our families in the name of Jesus. Now, Debbie had a word last night, but I can't remember what it was. I know she doesn't. She remembers.
Monday night.
Monday night, yeah. I'm sorry.
It's very short. It was very short. But it was after we sang. What song was it? I don't remember the song now. But anyway, I had it in my head at first. So it was really short, and Angelica sent it to me. I'm going to find it out. Okay. It's very short. Maybe this will remind you what song we were singing to, Michael. I don't remember. But it's a, "Do not let my blood dry up on the cross. Keep it running. Keep it fresh in your life." And that's what she remembered. And that's about what I remember, too. It might have been another phrase or so, but as I've been meditating on this, I've been thinking that I think it has to do with and I finished listening to the rest of David's message today. And I thought, wow, how it went together for just sacrifice. The blood on the cross was sacrifice, and it's the sacrifice of our lives, laying it down for the Lord and for one another, as things that David was sharing. And I thought that really went well with that, but that was it. So, do not let my blood dry up on the cross. Keep it running. Keep it fresh in your life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I've been meditating and reading and really, really listening to teachings and anyhow, just about the atonement, and that's the blood. And and really trying to understand for myself what all that gives us. And I don't know that, there's I mean, it's still, I think we're going to be learning about that for a long time, even in eternity when we get home. All what the blood of Jesus is all about, and the atonement, and what that meant for us. Anyhow, so what you said, what your word was, Debbie, just kind of confirm what I've been listening and meditating and studying too, because we just keep it. One of the things I will share, what I was listening to, I went back, and do you guys remember that revelation that Brandon Biggs shared about where he witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus and what he saw, what he experienced? Do you guys remember that? I think it was a couple years ago he shared it.
Yeah, I started to say it's been a while back, but yeah, I remember him talking
It
about it.
was really, really, really that I was reading about that, and I was reading some other people's experiences where the Lord gave them visions as well of being there and the crucifixion. And it's just really powerful to think about all what he gave. Mean, the words, in the Bible are only just, I shouldn't say they're just words, they're life, they're spirit, they're life, but they're, I mean, the words, but what people have tried to express and what they saw, what they heard, what they felt, and their sensations and everything, it's like, it's pretty amazing. What Jesus went through for us, not just for so we could have eternal life. It's not just that, but it's like so we could have that abundant life now. What he died to give us through his the sacrifice of his blood, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And that really does have to be more supersede everything else that we might feel. It's like, no, you did this for me, so I don't need to have to go through any this suffering. But then you start, I don't know, for me, sometimes I start second guessing, why or what or whatever. But no, by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. You suffered for me in my place. And anyhow, that's just kind of what I've been thinking about here. And it's some really deep revelations that people have experienced. And I just wanted to share that the atonement
Amen.
and what the blood means for us, what he gave for us, and that he is transforming us, turning the water into wine, and that is symbolic of his blood, his nature. Isaiah 53 and those verses in there, and going back and studying, meditating on those, it's been really good. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Well, I can pray for my oldest brother also, Marvin Jr. Lord, I lift up Marvin Jr. and his family, and I ask, Lord, that you bring him into the kingdom too. They all have a need for you, Lord, and I break the power that's keeping them from it right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave him alone, all of them. And I ask, Father, that the Lord of Harvest would send somebody that they would listen to each and every one of them, to bring them into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of my siblings. That's Marvin, David, Alnette, and Sue Ellen. Thank you, Lord. I will tell you this, I've got a younger brother that's up there already in heaven. I had a friend of mine who saw him up there. He had a vision of my young brother Walker up there. I think I told you though here a few years ago. Yeah. He saw him working on an archway up in heaven. He come to me. He didn't know I had a brother, a little brother. He said, Michael said, do you have a brother? I said, yeah, I got three of them, matter of fact. He said, do you have one that died? Now, he didn't know anything about my family at all. We had just made friendship. I said, why are you asking, buddy? He said, well, I had a vision and I saw this young man working on an archway in heaven. And he said, he looks just like you. He talks just like you. I said, Lord help him. I said, I'll talk to him. And I forget what he told him. Anyway, I said, yeah, I did, buddy. I said, I had a brother that was shot out squirrel hunting one day. With Daddy had bought him a brand new Sweet 16 Browning shotgun. Some of you men might know this. But anyway, he took it to a friend's house. He wasn't but 10 years old. And forgot to unload the gun, and his friend shot him right in the head, killed him instantly. And but he's up in heaven, and I know that now because of Buddy. Buddy always had good dreams and visions of the Lord. We had some wonderful times together. Go ahead, Julie. He died too, by the way. I did his funeral. That was awesome. I had Baptists coming up to me in town after we did the Buddy's funeral, and they said, "Man, I ain't never been to a funeral like that." I said, "What?" He said, "Man, the hair stood up on the back of my neck when you blew that shofar." I said, well, I said, "That's what Buddy and I did. We went all over Arkansas blowing that those shofar." Go ahead, Judy. Did you have something?
Yes, I did, but I wanted for wait for you to get finished talking, what you're saying. Something that just came across my feed. There was this afternoon up in the San Francisco Bay Area near Alcatraz Island, there was a boat that has capsized out there on the bay. At least one person is dead, and at least two others are missing. And so, Father, I just command the angels to go forth right now and find every person that's there in Jesus' name, and that there is no more death up there in Jesus' name, that everybody is found and okay in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that just be with the people that are on, were on that boat, and the fear that may have come into them, and what a terrible thing to have to go through up there. And also be with the family members, Lord, of those who are missing, and the person who's dead, confirmed dead, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We send the angels up there to find them all. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
God, I know I was talking about the headlines. An Iranian, listen to this, lawmaker reportedly said Tehran should not rely on diplomacy with the U.S., arguing that failed negotiations show Washington only understands the language of force. How ironic is that? That is nuts. Lord, we thank you for ending that war over there with a great victory for the people of Iran to get these controlling spirits out of that country in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're working on it right now. Got the courage coming in from the hillside, from the mountains, fixing to go after the IRGC, and we praise you and we thank you for that, Lord. They are wonderful soldiers in the mountain, and we thank you. Praise you, Lord, that they're going to run them out. Thank you, Jesus, and get this war stopped. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for taking all the Islamic leaders in Iran, taking all our money away from where they can't do nothing. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Are you guys aware of this parasite outbreak that's been linked to produce? I can't pronounce it. It's cyclosporiasis parasite. Apparently, it's in quite a few places right now. The pathogen is highly resistant to traditional washing methods. But we just break their curses in the name of Jesus, and we command this parasite to die. In the name of Jesus Christ, and that no more people are going to get sick over it. Apparently, it's got some pretty, we'll just say extreme diarrhea, I guess, is what it attacks the digestive system. So we just rebuke that parasite, command it to die, and no more people are going to get sick, and we rebuke all their curses that they're spreading around about it. There were curses and putting fear in people and spreading it, who's ever doing it, wherever it's coming from, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? Some dead airspace. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just lift up President Trump to you and his administration and his family. And I thank you, Lord, for providing complete protection around, a shield of protection around him and his family and the administration. And we praise you and we thank you for it. Especially Marco Rubio has already been, people are threatening to kill him. And Father, we thank you for keeping them all safe and secure and that it won't slow them down a bit in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and thank you, Lord. We know the deep state is getting desperate and the desperate people do desperate things sometimes. And Lord, we ask and we pray that no amount of people will be destroyed because of their wanting to keep power. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for taking all their money away from them, all their weapons away from them, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and thank you, Lord. It's going to be a smooth transition over into this republic that we now have back in these United States, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, I lift up Marco Rubio to you. I thank you, Lord, for keeping him safe and sound too, in Jesus' name. And also, Lord, I thank you for exposing everything about the Charlie Kirk death, that it would be the truth. And we praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I don't care who it involves. Thank you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, we know he's not dead, but that's okay. They tried to kill him. And we praise you for it, Father. If you didn't know, he's in protective custody. Go ahead, Julie.
So right, I saw where there's been at least, I don't know what time period this is, but at least three church fires in New York City alone recently. I knew about one. It was like a 100-year-old huge church and probably Muslim. And they, well, anyhow, Father, we just bind up that spirit of hate. We know that we're hated, but we can still bind that spirit up in Jesus' name, and all these attacks on the churches. I know it's a sign of the end times, Lord, that you're using to get people to acknowledge and turn to you, Lord, and repent for things. But I just pray that you would, your justice would be done here, Lord, swiftly against the people who are doing it, Muslims. There's a lot of people who hate God, who hate Christianity, who hate everything that what they call good evil and evil good, because there's just a lot of confusion out there that the devil is using to get people to do things, to make to express themselves, and they think they have the right to do it. So we bind up that anarchy, lawlessness, destruction, violence, arson, and the like, and all these Muslim spirits that are trying to make their case, make their point known, and trying to destroy Christianity. Christianity will not be destroyed. I thank you, Lord, that you go on and you live forever, and you're bringing people out of their Muslim faith and into Christianity, that you're converting them, Lord, and we trust that. If that's happening, that you're going to use it for good, Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray that you will give your people who are called by your name to really study the scriptures and not retaliate and not get angry and start pointing the fingers and take matters into their own hands and pick up arms against in defense of this kind of thing, too, Lord, that you will use this, Lord, to also point out your word to people about the right way to approach these things. It's in the spiritual realm, that you will give wisdom and discernment to your people on how to fight against our enemies in Jesus' name, that it is not against flesh and blood, and it's not picking up a gun to defend and retaliate in this way in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you,
Praise you,
Lord.
Father. Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, thank you, Jesus. If y'all go ahead, Debbie. I see you.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay.
If I lift up, excuse me, my sister Becky, she's been diagnosed with cancer in the kidney cancer, but the growth is very small. It hasn't grown much in 6 months, very little bit. And so they're going to wait another 6 months and see if it grows anymore. In 3 months, she's going to have an ultrasound. And if it grows bigger in the next 3 to 6 months, then he's going to put a needle in and freeze it. And he doesn't want to do surgery or chemotherapy on it because it will damage the kidneys too much, and they don't want to have to put her on dialysis. She's got sugar diabetes pretty bad. She's had it all along for many years. So I just want to pray for her. This is kind of new to me. I didn't really know that she realize she had this. So Lord, I just pray for my sister Becky, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would, she loves you, Lord. She knows you, God. I pray you would just give her the faith, God, to believe you for healing. And God, she's relies on these doctors so much, God. Just relies on it, Lord. They are her help. They are her help. And I pray, Lord God, that she will turn to you. I pray you bring her revelation, Father God, to not just believe that you can heal, but that you have healed her, God, at the cross, that she would receive that for herself, God, and just give her the faith to believe and trust you, Father, because everything has only gone from worse to worse with the doctors. And I just ask you to bring deliverance to her, Father God, and in her faith, Lord, and cause her to really speak forth her healing, Lord. I thank you, God, and I just thank you for keeping her safe. And I pray, I just believe to have a healing for her body to come about, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for answering that prayer. In Jesus' name. Okay. How many of you would like the Holy Spirit to break every stronghold in your life? Woo, glory to God. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm gonna pray this spirit. I mean this spirit, this prayer. If it's all right with y'all, if you want if you want freedom from the strongholds, just repeat after me. You don't have to do it out loud, but you can do it. And the Lord will honor it. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, I come before you with humility, with hunger, and with faith. I came not trusting in my strength, but trusting in your power. Holy Spirit, break every stronghold in my life, every chain that I can't break by myself, every battle I cannot win on my own, every burden I have carried too long, today I lay them before you right now in the name of Jesus. Because your word declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So Holy Spirit, pull down every stronghold in my mind, every stronghold in my heart. I command them to come down. Every stronghold in our destiny. I break the stronghold of fear. I break the stronghold of addiction. I break the stronghold of delay. And I break the stronghold of shame. I break the stronghold of poverty, stronghold of stagnation, and I break the stronghold of spiritual dryness and distraction. Thank you, Lord, that you have already broke every stronghold in my life. Your word says in John chapter 8 and verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And Jesus, by your authority, I receive freedom today, freedom in my mind, freedom in my emotions, freedom in my body, freedom in my future. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for locating every hidden chain in my life and shattering it by fire. Glory be to God. Every stronghold that's built by family patterns, I break it right now. Every chain built by words spoken against me, I break it right now. Built by the enemy, I break it right now. Because your word says in John chapter 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for releasing your truth into every dark place in my life. Expose every lie, destroy every deception, heal every wounded place. Holy Spirit, break every stronghold out of my life. I command it to be gone, and I refuse to be a prisoner in what Jesus already conquered. And I refuse to live in chains when Christ paid for my freedom. And I refuse to bow to what you have given us authority over. Your word says in Luke 10, 19, behold, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And today I rise in that authority and I trample every stronghold under my feet. I trample every limitation. I trample every delay. I trample every demonic resistance. Holy Spirit, break every stronghold out of my life right now. In the name of Jesus, because your word declares in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, fill our lives with liberty and let that liberty flood our hearts. Holy Spirit, move in us now. Every stronghold that followed us from childhood, be gone in the name of Jesus. Every stronghold that followed me from past seasons, be gone. Every stronghold that rose in secret, I break it right now in Jesus' name. Your word says in Psalms 18 and 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. And I thank you, Lord, that you have already delivered us, delivered our minds, delivered our souls, delivered our future. And Holy Spirit, I break every stronghold in my life, and I declare that we are not abandoned. We are not forgotten. We are not defeated. We are not bound, because your word says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It ain't prospering right now from this point on in Jesus' name. And I praise and I thank you, Lord, that the bondages are broken off of each and every one that believes it. In Jesus' name, amen. Be gone, strongholds. Screw, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 23 and 29. Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit let that word hammer every rock of resistance in our lives. Praise be to God. Thank you, Joy. And let our life move forward in power. Everybody here has got the power, don't they? If you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the power. Praise be to God. Over every stronghold. I believe it. Y'all believe it? I'm free. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. I'm free. Thank you, Lord. I have no lack. Amen. I got to do that, too. How do you do that? Thank you, Lord. Let's see. Look at that. I got to get me one of them things. Are you just making it bad now? Let's see. Share. Oh, react. There we go. Yeah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's a good one, too. Spread the love, Lord. Spread the love. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We've got a few minutes left. If anybody's got anything else they'd like to share. Yeah, Benita. I was wondering when you was going to speak up, girl.
Hi, everyone. I do have a praise report. So Anjali, my daughter, she had interviewed for, I don't know if I told you that, she was interviewing. Yeah, so she interviewed for that position, and she got it. So,
praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So she's had 3 days of work so far, and she's enjoying it, and just a small company, but it's growing, and she's just getting in there right now. And yes, she was thinking about getting an apartment and all this stuff, and she just decided to stay home with us, and she put a desk together in my bedroom, and that's where she's working from. So praise the Lord for that too, that she would just,
amen,
you know, just what, be able to just
kind
settle
of company
in.
What do they do?
It's a training company for pilots, aviation training.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so they've
pilot?
Got a lot of, she does have a pilot's license, but she doesn't have a commercial license. So
okay.
she wanted to work towards that. And she just was looking for any job, even just a receptionist or something, but she ended up getting a pretty decent IT job there. She's kind of the only IT person in the company, and she's going to be managing all of, and they're expanding, and they want to go nationwide. Right now they're just in Michigan. And so, yeah, she's like, they said someday, you know, we'll probably have a chief information officer and you can work your way up to that. And she's like, I'm pretty much that already because there's no other people that are doing this job. So,
praise God.
Yeah, I mean, she's
That's
not
cool.
really been in that position before, but she picks things up pretty quickly. And I just, Lord, just give her the wisdom to be able to do the work that she needs to do in this position. And,
amen.
Just keep up on top of it all. So she's excited about it, but praise the Lord for, I mean, she's so funny. She's like, Mom, everything just always works out for me. I'm like, you know, there's a reason for that. I know you don't give a,
yeah.
I told her, I said, I'm going to praise the Lord. I know you're not going to, but I'm going to thank him for this. So I can't say much usually in front of her, but I squeeze things in here and there. So praise the Lord for that.
That's good if she's got a job or something she likes.
Yeah, it's the perfect job for the perfect industry that she was interested in. They gave her a certain amount of money towards flying as part of her
Oh.
package, so she can have so many flying hours. So it's pretty cool.
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
Julia, when
okay.
I was, I'm sorry, is it time? Oh. I was just going to say, when I, as I went through life before I was saved, things just like that happened to me too. I just got a great job at GM, and I mean, just things would always fall into place. People were always like, "How does everything work out for you all the time?" And then when I came to know the Lord, I'm like, "Oh, okay." He was always there. He always had his hand on me. So praise the Lord, she'll get that revelation.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all right, we're out of time. Lord, we thank you for tonight. It was an awesome time. And we ask Father God that the people, all of our prayers have already been answered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Well, good night, y'all.